All right, welcome in McElroy and Kubelik in the morning. It is Monday, March 27, 7 a.m. right here on Jocks 94.5. Glad you're with us. What a weekend of sports. What a weekend of college basketball. A lot of folks now tuned out of March Madness. The Alabama Crimson Tide out. Our Final Four is set, and they will not be there. A brutal game on Friday night against San Diego State that's won in which we thought it was going to have to go a certain way. We thought it was going to have to be a certain style game, and San Diego State got exactly what they needed, GMAC, to be able to find a way to knock off, at that point in time, the favorites to win the national championship. Everything it felt like San Diego State had to have to get that game to go their way, it about went that direction. And the Aztecs not only going to move on from that game, but going to move on into the Final Four, where they'll face off against FAU, just like we all thought.
The Final Four is probably one of the worst possible Final Fours for television viewership ever, but it's probably one of the most intriguing as it relates to some of the storylines around some of these teams. I mean, just wild. San Diego State, FAU, Miami, who, by the way, underachieved all season long and really looked great here in the final month of the season, really starting to rock and roll, playing great, great basketball, and UConn. So it's definitely an interesting group down there. Obviously, I think the CBS sports executives were probably praying for Texas last night, praying for some big program. Miami is that, but not necessarily for basketball, and their fans have a tendency to be a little in and out. But either way, this is pretty remarkable, man. It really is. But back to the Alabama situation, just a disappointing game. I mean, just never felt good at any point. Played a little better in the second half, thought things were going to get kind of move in a direction where they would get control. Like so many other opponents thought the second half, they would just run out of steam because of Alabama's depth and length and all those other things. But San Diego State showed that they're a veteran group, man. I mean, they just wouldn't go away, wouldn't go away. Even as Alabama started to pull away 5, 6, 7 point leads, it was never enough. And ultimately, that scoring drought that started around 11 minutes or so all the way through about, goodness gracious, I think they scored 2 or 3 points in a handful of minutes, and it was pretty much all she wrote. So, disappointing end to what was a great, great, great group, great talent, but it's just a bummer. I don't know how else to describe it.
No, and there are a lot of ways you'll still look at this Alabama basketball team as one of the best or the best. If you just look at accolades, especially those accolades by one Brandon Miller as one of the most accomplished teams in school history. There's no doubt about that. We've got plenty of time to talk Final Four today. We want to get your reaction, though, to Alabama being out to the Final Four. Do you like it? Because like Greg just brought up, and it's fact, it's not going to bring the numbers for the television networks that they would want. It just isn't. First off, you don't have giant fan bases. You don't have giant schools. And even though FAU probably a bigger school than most people realize, I believe it's about a 30,000 enrollment, they don't have the history, and they don't have the graduates like a lot of other schools do. UConn's got good basketball pedigree, we know that, but not a massive national following. And most of Miami's following is because of football. So you're just not going to bring the common eyeballs like you would if Texas would have gotten in. If you have a Kansas, a North Carolina, a Kentucky, you're not going to get that. So there are a lot of folks that are already disappointed about that. I'm on the complete other end of that. I love the new blood. I love the different stories. I love the teams that aren't supposed to be there. And that makes me want to watch more, because a lot of times we would say, if it's a sport that we're not completely invested in and we don't watch a ton of, we would say, well, I got to at least have some star power to be able to tune in. Well, how much real star power do we have in college basketball? Like, by this time of the year, yes, we have a couple that have developed, but annually, year to year, from a carryover perspective, like Brandon Miller is now, but there wasn't a ton of people talking about him before the season as being the best player in college basketball. So that star power doesn't really stay with college hoops as much as it used to. So I love seeing the new blood. I love seeing, you know, Jim Larrañaga taking a second team that had never been to the Final Four to the Final Four. Like that to me, it's just fun. I mean, I love seeing this FAU team and what they're doing, rattling off 35 wins and leading the nation in wins, and finding a way to potentially go win a national championship. You know, a San Diego State team that plays a different style ball, that might have a chance to go win it. I mean, that's, to me, this makes it more interesting, but I understand where, from a ratings perspective, and maybe what a lot of people want, you're not going to get that. But we'll focus in. Go ahead.
No, I mean, it'll probably be the worst viewed Final Four in history. But who cares?
I'm with you. That was the focus yesterday. I mean, I'm just like, I don't care what the ratings are. Like, I think it's cool that these teams are there.
Yeah, but I mean, so many people can, you know, they can bash and forward an agenda or whatever by pointing out just how bad the ratings are. Like, we deal with that with our spring football leagues all the time. Like, oh, look at the ratings. I told you it wouldn't work. Like, all that stuff. Like, I don't care. I'm interested in it. I'm still watching on Saturday. I'm disappointed my team's not there, but I'm still watching. I mean, still watched yesterday what we could. I guess the final 10 minutes of the Texas and Miami game, which, by the way, was one of the more amazing games of the entire weekend. Because Miami, I mean, it looked like Texas was going to run away with it. I mean, really just run away with it. And Miami just clawed their way back and just completely took over that game in the final 5 minutes. And next thing you know, I mean, they're shooting free throws. They don't miss. And they're, I mean, punching their ticket to the Final Four. I mean, that was a remarkable turnaround yesterday afternoon. And gosh, I mean, I was able to get back in time to watch the last 12 minutes or so, and every second that I watched was highly compelling. So I can only imagine how good that game must have been the first 28 minutes, not the final 12.
I don't think there's any doubt. GMAC and I yesterday on the call in Arlington, Texas, says the San Antonio Brahmas get to 2-4. 15-9, they knock off the Arlington Renegades, who fall to 3-3 in XFL action. Miami was just hot late. 31-17 run over the last 13 minutes of that game. So 13-29 left in the game, Miami down 13. And they're able to go find a way to win that game. It matched the largest comeback of this NCAA tournament, 13 points. That was done three times. Maryland against West Virginia, Xavier against Kennesaw State, Gonzaga against UCLA. Jordan Miller goes for 27 points for the Canes. He was 7 of 7 from the floor, 13 of 13 from the free throw line. First player since Christian Laettner in 1992 in the Elite Eight against Kentucky to go 7 of 7 or better from the floor and from the free throw line. So it's pretty impressive what the Canes did down the stretch. They were kind of the anti-Nate Oates, anti-Alabama, 10 of 13 on mid-range field goal attempts. So that's not something that a lot of basketball teams are doing, focusing on these days, but they found a way to make them go down, found a way to get them in, and found a way to win that game. And Miami, yes, Miami is in the Final Four against UConn. Yes, UConn is in the Final Four. And on the other side, it'll be FAU. Yes, FAU is in the Final Four against San Diego State. Yes, that San Diego State. Pretty crazy to think about FAU or San Diego State's going to be playing for a national championship. That's just
FAU's
wild.
I think FAU might win the whole thing. I think FAU's that good. I mean, they are that good. They are so athletic, so good. But think about this, though. I mean, talking about the teams in the Final Four, and we'll have all week to kind of break down those teams. But how bad of a 24-hour stretch was it for the Southeastern Conference? I mean, when you really look at it, like, so much excitement based on, hey, three teams in the Sweet 16, like, feeling great about things, like, everything looks great, all that being said, you get to the Sweet 16, awesome. You have 4 days between your final game and your next game, and three SEC teams all bow out in a really, really bad fashion. They're both on Thursday night and on Friday afternoon, evening, 5:30 or whatever the time it was. So it's like, golly, I mean, for a league that has come so far from a basketball standpoint in the court of public opinion, I think we've always thought it was pretty good. I mean, I don't think we've ever said it's the ACC or the Big 12, but we've always said it's pretty good. For them to have that many teams bow out three in a row, 0-3 in the Sweet 16, this is a tough 24 hours for the league. It really was.
I don't think there's any doubt. And there was a lot of confidence based on who those teams had knocked out that success would continue. I mean, Tennessee gets past Duke. Arkansas gets past Kansas. Now, the path that had opened up for Alabama, and there weren't a lot of higher seeds that it looked like the Crimson Tide was going to have to face. It looked like it was setting up for the SEC to have a pretty strong performance, and no teams now in the Final Four. So a lot of time to break it down. We want to get your reaction to this Alabama basketball team. What are your thoughts? What will you remember them by? How will you remember this club? 800-239-9569, 800-239-WJOX. We'll take you back to that game and discuss that game against San Diego State in just a moment. But first, I want to tell you about AmFirst, because banking is not just about your money. It's about you getting what you need when you need it. AmFirst has made choosing a checking account simple, with accounts loaded with features that can be customized to your needs. Thrive is the mainline checking account with the easy access you need, the functionality you deserve, and the great perks you'll love. Then there's Level Up, the account designed to help teenagers learn to manage their money. Get your debit card immediately with AmFirst and start enjoying rewards, unlimited check writing, mobile banking, and bill pay. AmFirst was founded for members like you, and they've been putting those members first since 1936. Putting you first means services that grow and change with the times to serve you better. Visit any AmFirst location or amfirst.org for details. Rewards are earned for each purchase on your Visa debit card, whether you choose credit or debit. ATM surcharges may apply, subject to machine owner. Certain restrictions apply. America's First Federal Credit Union, federally insured by the NCUA. 71-64. We talked about keeping this game in the 60s, GMAC. That's what San Diego State needed to do. Now, they had held 13 opponents under 60 points. Alabama goes just past that to get to 64. But neither team looked really good offensively. Alabama shoots 23 of 71 from the field. That's 32%. 3 of 27 from behind the three-point line. 11%. It was not a great shooting night for Alabama. And one of the worst of the season. As Brandon Miller, he struggled in the game as well. 3 of 19. 1 of 10 from behind the three-point line. Alabama 15 of 20 from the free throw line as well. Now, they out-rebounded San Diego State in the game. It looked like the defensive rebounds were going to be something that potentially kept them in it. And I'll say this, the first probably 5-7 minutes of the game, I kept thinking about what we talked about on Friday, that to me, the way the game would go would be similar to what it was, but there would be a run by Alabama somewhere, whether that be 8-0, 13-1, something like that, and it would be just enough offense for San Diego State not to be able to keep up and catch up. Because the first 4 to 7 minutes of that game, there's no way you could have convinced me that San Diego State would be able to find enough offense to win that game. I'm talking balls off the backboard that didn't hit the rim, like bricks that bounced out of bounds, putback points that could not go down. The offense early was atrocious for San Diego State, and you just felt like, okay, Alabama will find some offense at some point, but San Diego State's looking like they're not going to be able to score 20 in this game. And they would go on to find a little bit. And, you know, I think Darren Trammell was the main guy that kind of got things going offensively. He dumped in 21 points. And then you get 12 off the bench from Jaden Ledee. And they were able to just squeak out enough. But that defense we heard about, it was real. The physicality we heard about, very real. Veteran team. And we also mentioned that, GMAC. If it was going to happen, it felt like it was going to be a veteran team that knew how to play great defense and that could bring a little extra physicality, and I felt like those were the things that ultimately were the difference for San Diego State finding a way to win that game.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a bad matchup, and you referenced San Diego State not finding enough offense. I mean, neither team could do anything in the first 8 minutes of the game. I mean, it was as if, I mean, the looks were contested, sure. Like, both teams were defending well, but goodness gracious, even the open shots wouldn't even get close there the first 8 minutes. I don't know if there's nerves. I don't know if there's anxiety. I don't know what the deal was. But the first 8 minutes set basketball back quite a ways. Things got going a little bit there after the fact, but, man, it just took a little while for things to get going. And the second half was, you know, totally different animal. Little bit faster pace, a little bit more tempo on both sides. I mean, the fact that you had 51 points scored in the first half is pretty remarkable, considering the game almost ended up going over. I mean, the total was 137.5, and the game almost got there, even though there were only 51 points scored in the first half. So it was a tough watch early, but it was one of those things that was problematic to me. Is as a Bama basketball fan, as someone that was rooting for a team in this one, It just felt like Bama could never really get anything going. I mean, they never felt like they were in rhythm. They never felt like they were. I mean, they got a couple good looks, sure, but a lot of their looks. I mean, it's not like they were getting guys wide open all the time. I mean, just there was no rhythm to the game. Like there was no flow to it. When they were playing well this year, it was like it was just such a beautiful thing to watch. There's so much movement. There was so much action. There was so much tempo. So much transition. So many opportunities there. Just never felt like there was anything going on like that. It was just a tough watch, and just had a bad feeling about it from the first 6-7 minutes. You just knew it wasn't going to go your way. Just at least I did. I've started to calm down a little bit in the second half because they started to find some things, got a little bit of a lead. But San Diego State's one of those teams, man. They're just old, they're veteran, they're mature, and they weren't going to go down quietly. That's for sure. And they certainly played. They earned it, man. They were the better team. They really were. They were the better team in the final 25 minutes, and ultimately, it was enough for them to punch their ticket to the Final Four after the fact.
All right, so we've got Paul Feinbaum, who is coming up at 7:20. Richard Hendricks will join us at 9:20, former Alabama great, to sort of recap exactly how this went down, what took place, and how we're going to view this Alabama basketball team moving forward. We'll get your feedback as well. 800-239-9569 gets you in on the Bud Light Hotline. You can also tweet into the show. A Twitter feed brought to you by our friends at Royal Buick GMC. No matter where life takes you in 2023, for every ride, there's Royal. Royal Automotive in Vestavia, they've got you covered with new cars, trucks, and SUVs that come in every single day. When they say every ride, they mean it. Your old car included. Upgrade today. Trading your vehicle for top dollar. Four dealerships on one lot means whatever you want to drive, they're going to have it. Where else can you find the 2023 GMC Sierra, Yukon, Buick Enclave, Volkswagen Atlas, and Volvo XC90 all in one location? Plus, Royal selection of hundreds of pre-owned models. Royal Buick GMC, Royal Volkswagen, Royal Automotive Pre-Owned, and Volvo Cars of Vestavia Hills. They've got your next car, truck, or SUV. Reserve a new model in under an hour. Yes, it can be that fast. They'll deliver your ride right to your driveway as well. You know where to find the fine folks at Royal. Corner of I-65 and Highway 31 of Vestavia. Online at royalautomotive.net. And remember, for every ride, there's Royal. All right, tweeting into the show, some reaction on this Alabama basketball team. Seabass Jim tweets in, at Mac and Cube, the Sweet 16 is the high water mark for Alabama basketball. Why we expect to advance past, I have no idea. I will never get excited about Bama basketball ever again. Never, never, ever, ever. Well, they were the betting favorite to win the tournament, which means that most people thought they could advance.
Yeah, I mean, I feel...
overall seed for the first time ever, so...
Yeah, I feel like if you think that the high water mark, look at the teams in the Final Four. And just look. I mean,
Bryson's thrown around about those groups and doing what they're doing right now.
I mean, it can be done. I do think that there's a bigger picture discussion that needs to be had at some point today, though, about what it takes to get to the Final Four in the transfer portal era. Because I do think it's different. It's different than it used to be. And it's kind of playing itself out here right in front of us. Now, maybe this is a one-year anomaly, but there's a lot of takeaways that I think we could probably gather based on the four teams that are still remaining.
All right. Kenny Pete also tweets into the show, Nate Oates' style of basketball will never win a championship. Layups or threes? I mean, if those threes are going down, then for a couple more games, then you probably have a chance to win a championship. It's hard for me to just say that you can get to where you were able to get this year, but then you're not going to be able to go any further, kind of based on where everything was. I don't know if I can buy that, GMAC.
The Golden State Warriors have won how many championships? Like, I mean,
there's like a lot.
They rely on a lot of threes and layups, so that's not checked. I mean, I don't think it's the style at all.
Yeah, I don't look at Nate Oates' style of basketball and say that can't get it done at a national championship level. Michael in County Line wants to join us on the Bud Light Hotline. Welcome into the show, Michael.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Morning.
Good morning, buddy.
Hey, man. What is so frustrating is that you see this Final Four, you see the teams that, you know, if Alabama could have faced and beaten San Diego State, their biggest challenge, high probability of making it who knows far. I think that's what's so frustrating about all this.
No question. You know, that's 100% what's most frustrating, because it was laying out perfectly. You have Creighton, Princeton, San Diego State, and the four, the one, or the two, the three, and the four seed all gone from your region. You have on the bottom of the bracket, you would have been facing a potential nine seed. Like, I know, I know that seeds are just where you start, right? Like UConn, right. No one thinks UConn's a four. Like, look at them; they're a force, is what they are. So you can't look at the seeds too much. But yeah, I agree with you. I think the cart was put before the horse for a lot of us. I mean, self included, with plane tickets for my whole family and some going to Houston 3 weeks ago. So it's a bummer, man. Like, it just, and the stars were aligning. It just felt like it was definitely going to happen. This was it. And then to fall flat in the Sweet 16 like we did a couple years ago is just really, really disappointing.
Well, what was frustrating about this game is it was a lot like the UCLA game. They were playing an even more physical brand of basketball, throwing themselves around a good bit, you know, and I fell into, you know, hey, if the officials officiated this game a certain way and were calling some of this stuff, like, you know, when they poke people in the face and slap the ball out of people's arms and stuff like that. But really, you have to face those challenges along the way. And really, the bottom line was our shooting percentage. Now, you could say all those things affected that and et cetera, et cetera. But we missed a lot of open shots. And then that pours over into the frustration part about it. You know, how it lines up and everything. I mean, with far and away the better team on paper all the way through to the end and until a possible UConn or even Miami in the championship game. So it's frustrating. This was our best chance, obviously. But, you know, there's people that, you know, fell short before, and then they'll come back in the next year or two and use that as fuel. So I hope that is what these guys do. So Roll Tide, guys. I hope you all have a good rest of your morning.
Yeah, you too. Appreciate the call, Michael. Chris in Calera wants to chime in on this Alabama basketball team. Welcome into the show, Chris.
Hey, guys. Appreciate it. First off, heck of a season. Very proud of the guys. Couple observations of the teams that did win and are in the Final Four. Mid-range jumpers were there for those guys. And you look at what Javon Quinley did for this team to get us here, but you look at what he did those last few possessions. I don't know how many block shots, probably three or four, maybe even five at the rim, where he tried to go all the way, trying to do too much sometimes. That's kind of been his MO when he gets us in trouble, is he tries to do everything when he's got four other guys capable. I really thought Pringle was going to be big in that game. I thought his physicality and his ability to elevate and be physical around the rim on some of those pick and rolls, I feel like we got away from getting the ball inside when we were trying to make a run like y'all are saying and trying to make threes. We've got to be disciplined with Nate Oates' offense to go inside when we need points and we're struggling and let the three ball come. But we did not get the ball inside well with Bediako, with Clowney even. Clowney didn't play that well in this game. But I thought Pringle could have been a difference maker like he was in the first game of the tournament. But I think Nate's got to look at the whole well-rounded part of being a basketball player and taking the mid-range jumper, like you see the Creightons, the Princetons, the San Diego States, even Miami yesterday, their little guard had a great mid-range game. So you've got to look at the whole game of basketball and take what the team's giving you. But hats off to San Diego State. I mean, they played us phenomenally defensively. And sometimes you don't make shots, but you've got to adapt to what you have. If you're not hitting threes, you've got to get the ball inside and try to get fouled, make free throws. You've got to adapt to what the team's doing, and sometimes Oates doesn't make those changes, and especially Quinley going to the rim that many times late in the game. You can't do that and waste that many possessions when you're down 6, 8, even 10 towards the end of the game. So those are my thoughts. Roll Tide. Appreciate you guys, and let's get ready for football.
You too, Chris. Appreciate the call. I am glad you said, you know, hats off to San Diego State, because there are a lot of people that are focusing just on the missed shots, and I do think a lot of those shots were defended well and altered,
yeah.
And that's why they didn't go in. The other part about that, like, I agree that you thought you were going to have more success inside. Nathan Mensah was like freaking Mutombo in there. I mean, that dude was swatting everything. He had five blocks in the game, and how many did he alter? Like, how many shots did he force to look good for me?
You're
that
right.
Dude was a monster inside.
They were good, man. Like, they're really good. I mean, you can't deny that's a good basketball. I mean, they okay, so maybe a few shots didn't fall, but, man, they were all over it. I mean, there weren't a lot of clean looks either. You know, I mean, the space, there was not a lot of space. There was not a lot of clean looks. I mean, there were some missed open shots? Absolutely. But that's the way it is. And I didn't feel like, you know, a couple years ago against UCLA, I remember there just being a bunch of turnovers and just kind of sloppy. And, like, this didn't feel as sloppy. It just felt like there was absolutely no consistency shooting the ball. And you got to tip your cap. I wish you could look internally and say, hey, what could we do better? Like I, as a competitor, just that's how you look at it. But you have to tip your cap sometimes. That they played and executed much better than we did, and it ultimately ended up in a loss. I mean, it just is what it is.
Absolutely. Listen, we'll get your feedback throughout the course of the show today. We focus in on a lot of hoops today, and then we kind of turn the page. Not that we're going to ignore it, but we begin to turn the page towards spring football and towards college football season. But we get a lot of it in today. Paul Feinbaum is going to be with us on the other side to continue talking how this Alabama basketball team will be and should be remembered. We do that next right here on McElroy and Kubelik in the morning.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.
Welcome back in. McElroy and Kubelik in the morning, 7:30 a.m., Monday, March 27th. As we continue to march on right here on Jocks 94.5, listen online, jocksfm.com, the apps in your app store, iPhone, Android, download that for free, listen on the go. He joins us each and every Monday, thanks to our friends at Craneworks. You can hear him right here, 2 to 6 p.m. on WJOX. It's Paul Feinbaum.
Lift it, load it, grade it, grind it, move it, haul it, rig it, dig it, Craneworks, Rentalworks, yeah, the big dog's got it.
Paul Feinbaum on Mac and Cube in the morning is brought to you by Craneworks. Lift it, buy it, rent it, the big dog's got it. Now, Paul Feinbaum.
Paul, always great to visit with you on a Monday morning. March has been madness through this NCAA tournament. It's not what some people wanted, what some people expected. But before we get to what the Final Four actually is and is going to be, I'm very interested to get your thoughts just on how you will remember this Alabama basketball team and how you think this Alabama basketball team should be remembered by the fan base.
Well, those are very different things, Cole. And I mean, I'll remember this team as arguably the best team in Alabama basketball history. However, the public will not remember this team very fondly. And I say the public, I'm talking about outside of area code 205 around the country. This will be a team and a program remembered for an absolute blown opportunity. They had a straight shot to the Final Four because of carnage within the region. And there's no getting around blowing it on Friday night. And it's a concern because schools get reputations based on how they play in March, not what they do in November, not in the SEC basketball tournament. Now, all of that was great for Alabama, but when it really mattered, when the entire season and really the reputation of the program was on the line, they blew it. And that may sound harsh to people, Cole, but it's the reality. When your best player, perhaps in school's history, completely goes 0 for the night, it's an extreme disappointment. And Nate Oates, for all of the accolades that he has received, and they are numerous, has now gone 3 consecutive tournaments and lost to a lower seed. And ultimately, that helps to form your image and your reputation.
Paul, what do you make of just the... What do you make of the performance? I mean, exclusive of just kind of removing from like the bigger picture, what do you make of the performance? Because there are people that will draw conclusions saying that this style of basketball can't win in March. I don't agree with that at all. There are going to be overreactions. There's going to be strong opinions. It's to be expected. But the performance in and of itself, what did you make of it?
Well, Greg, back to your point, I read some analysis over the weekend about high tempo in March. And, right. and you know what? If anybody would like to argue scientific data about how March operates, then yeah. I'll call you a complete fraud, because there is no way that anything and anyone can predict what we just got through watching. The only thing I will say, and the only thing that quite frankly matters in March, is the ability to withstand pressure. And that's what gets these players every single time, because of the nature of the tournament, which you heard about now for 2 or 3 weeks. Why can't players make shots? Well, these are the same shots they made all season long, except now the entire country is watching, the entire tournament is hanging on the balance, and there's no explanation for it other than human nature. And I think Nate Oates is a phenomenal coach. I think he's one of the best coaches in the country. I think to get a team to a number one overall seed is phenomenal, except you just can't explain. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've watched earlier in my career great Alabama teams lose at this moment in time, because it overwhelms you. And don't tell me that whatever Florida Atlantic is doing or Miami is really a better setup, because it's not. But it's just the nature of tournament basketball. It gets teams for some reason, and it got Alabama this time.
And Paul, and that's where all of a sudden people will start to complain. I've already seen it where folks will. They'll go to social media and say, oh, this is not designed for us to crown the best team every year, and it's designed for different things. Well, does this change your opinion on the NCAA tournament at all and how it's formatted?
No, it's the single best 3 weeks of the year in college. It really the best 2 weeks of the year, because, quite frankly, I'm willing to move on this Saturday and Monday night. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be an elitist, but of those four schools, I don't much care who wins. But it's because I wouldn't change a thing. And I know Barkley came out last night in an interview that was taped 2 weeks ago. The college basketball has become a travesty. He said it's a beautiful sport that has been ruined. That is not true. Greg and Cole, people that don't even like college basketball were hanging on that free throw yesterday. Yeah. We're hanging on what happened Friday night. It is a great sport because it's so unpredictable, and here's what's it going to be interesting now. What's the most predictable sport that we follow? It's college football. We have a system that normally identifies the best team. Every once in a while, maybe it's the second best team. Guess what's happening in next year? We're going to a 12-team playoff, and quite frankly, I think it's going to change a little bit of the dynamics, not to the degree that we saw over the weekend, because college football is a much different sport, but I wouldn't change a thing. And by the way, I mean, who are the most knowledgeable people in college basketball? It's not the pundits on ESPN or CBS. It's the people on that committee. They study it. You guys have interviewed people on that committee. I had a friend who was the chairman of it years ago, and this poor guy, it was a former commissioner of the SEC. He literally went home every night at 6:30 and watched basketball until 1:30 in the morning out west. So the most knowledgeable 12, 13, 14 men and women in this country on college basketball over the last 4 months came up with a bracket that none of the best teams got through. So what does that tell you?
It tells you all you need to know. That's for sure. I don't have any issues with how March Madness is formatted. I think it's phenomenal. But I do think we're at a bit of a crossroads with how best to build a team. Miami is an example of veteran dudes. Brought veteran guys in via NIL, but they went out and they went after guys that were very experienced, not just in March, but in college basketball in general. FAU, a collection of upperclassmen. San Diego State, a collection of upperclassmen. UConn, a collection of upperclassmen. I feel like we're getting to a point now, Paul, where you are better off having veteran guys, 21, 22-year-old grown men, over NBA lottery picks. I really believe we're getting to that point. So If you were a coach in college basketball, would you change your philosophy with the type of group that you assembled in an effort to be more prepared for the emotional roller coaster that is March?
You're 100% correct about everything. The only thing I would probably do is keep my eye on the portal and maybe bring in a fifth-year guy or something but you really, if you're in the SEC at the top level of Kentucky, Alabama, schools like that, you can't turn down these generational players. And even when it breaks your heart every year, Greg, and no more than Nick Saban can say, you know what, I'm going to pass on the best quarterback coming out of the next class. I'd rather develop a young guy who was a three-star into a quarterback. I mean, it's just not the way it works. And again, I know I violated my own rule there by dipping into another sport, but the temptation is too great. You just have to figure out a way to do it. And I agree. There will be a lot of people that will look at this Final Four and think about it, and then they'll be in a gym tomorrow night trying to recruit the best player in the country for the 24 class.
Paul, before we let you run, I did want to get just your thoughts quickly on a press conference from a week ago. It was just after we visited with you and Jimbo Fisher, some of the things that he said in regards to Bobby Petrino. And, you know, some people kind of ran with his comments that, oh, it looks like there's already uncertainty. This is not going to work. It's only a matter of time before he takes this thing back. What did you make of, and how did that steer your opinion of how this Bobby Petrino-Jimbo Fisher relationship is going to work this season?
It didn't change a thing. I just got through reading an article about a guy, so the marriage is already on the rocks. Listen, you can't judge Jimbo Fisher by the way he articulates his press conferences. I've fallen for that trick before. I think what he's done with Bobby Petrino will work. I think it's going to be difficult for Jimbo between now and maybe the season to work through it. But those are workable problems. He knows how good Petrino is, and I think he just has to. It would be difficult for him, and I think you saw that. But I'd much rather him make a mistake in late March than in late November. I believe that this A&M team is good enough to overcome bad press conferences. Last year they weren't, but that was a confluence of a lot of weird things going on. But I think it will work. Write your columns, write your tweets, and in the end, I don't think it's going to make one bit of difference.
Paul, we always appreciate the time. Great stuff, and definitely look forward to catching up with you again next week.
Thanks, Cole. Thanks, Greg.
Paul Finebaum with ESPN, the SEC Network, and also hear him 2 to 6 p.m. right here on Jocks 94.5 discussing the NCAA tournament. And it's unfortunate that Alabama's not going to move on, and when it comes to moving on, there's only one person that you need to call, G-Mac.
That'd be Crocker Moving Services. They're a local company owned by an Iraq War veteran, Eric Crocker. Crocker believes in hiring movers you can trust, complete full background checks, and run drug tests on every single employee. These are good guys, and you can trust them in your home. Whether you need your whole home packed up and move, your company headquarters moved across country, or you just want them to come rearrange your living room, these guys got you covered. They also do deliveries for furniture that you purchase and need to get to your home. So call or visit them online today for a free quote. The website is CrockerMovingServices.com. That's CrockerMovingServices.com. Support your veterans by choosing Crocker Moving Services for your next move.
All right, 800-239-9569, you want to get in. I want to talk just kind of tournament in general and then Alabama as well. Them not moving on. But there are folks that will tell you that now this format doesn't work. It's not the best because of what we're getting. You can respond to that as well. We'll do it right after this, right here on Jocks 94.5.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show. Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville?
Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Well, let's see. Good for my career. Sent me to rehab, though, so that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Welcome back in. McElroy and Kubelik in the morning. Jocks 94.5. Listen online, jocksfm.com, 7:48 a.m., Monday, March 27th. Get your thoughts on this NCAA tournament, on Alabama being ousted by San Diego State in this NCAA tournament, as well as San Diego State advances to their first Final Four in program history. We take your calls, 800-239-9569, 800-239-WJOX. You can also tweet into the show, at Mac and Cube. That Twitter feed brought to us by our friends at Royal Buick GMC. You can always be a part of the show there. Speaking of calling folks, if you're trying to get rid of your house and you're worried that you might not have the buyers lined up to come purchase your home once you put it on the market, that's not going to be an issue with Gusty Gulis and the Gusty Gulis Group. They're brokered by eXp Realty. And my friend Gusty Gulis, constantly investing in cutting-edge technology and marketing to sell the best homes for the most money. They can now give you options for your home before you talk to them. It's easy. Just go to your phone right now. Go to GustyGulisGroup.com, and you'll see a button at the top right of the page to find your home's value. Don't worry. You don't have to give your personal info, just your address, and then you can watch what happens. There are a lot of reasons, GMAC, that Gusty Gulis is who you need to call if you have any real estate concerns or issues in the Birmingham area.
Yeah, just look up the reviews. I mean, the reviews are off the charts good. You can see them. Over 800 of them. If you just Google Gusty Gulis Group, you'll find one like this. Gusty sells more homes for more money so fast that some of they barely make it to market. Just ask Devon and Jimmy. They listed their Pell City place with Gusty, but they weren't prepared for what happened next. Thanks to Gusty's proven methods, their house had multiple offers and sold for the price Devon and Jimmy wanted in 2 days. They could not be happier with Gusty and his team. So Google Gusty Gulis Group. That's Gusty Gulis Group. Or you can just go straight to a site, GustyGulisGroup.com. That's GustyGulisGroup.com, and start packing.
All right, we go back to the phones, 800-239-9569. If you want to get in, Jay in Huntsville is on the Bud Light Hotline. Welcome into the show, Jay.
Man, what's up, fellas? Yeah, I've been thinking about it all weekend and everything, man. Like, okay, a lot of these people that are complaining, I was telling Damien on the screen, but, like, yeah, man, a lot of these people is like either gambling elements or just, you know, they're gamblers. That's the people that's complaining about this NCAA tournament. Because I'm going to tell you right now, brackets, if the NCAA tournament is like this every year from here on out, ain't nobody playing brackets no more. Them office brackets and all that, that's out the window. Because, I mean, that's harder than winning a lottery where the whole world is playing that one friggin' Powerball. Your odds is like so slim to none. Like, it's going to turn to where you're just going to have to, like, play little parlays per round. I mean, coming from somebody who worked for a handicapper, I live in Vegas. I don't understand it. I'll tell you, this year, a lot of people done lost probably their mortgage, their marriage, or whatever, because this tournament right here, this tournament hit a lot of gamblers' pockets, just put it that way. But so either the only people complaining is either you like one of them talking heads is towing the company line or whatever, or you're a straight-up gambler. That's it.
I still don't understand, like, what is the argument? Okay, so maybe the best team doesn't win it. Who cares?
Like, well, that's the part that I have. That's the part that I have the problem with. Is, you know, everyone will say, Greg, this is not designed for the best team to win, or the best team doesn't always win it. But then, what have we been saying? What have fans been clamoring for in college football for the last, you know, 15 years, 10 years? You got to have tournament-style football to crown a real champion. You need a tournament to crown a champion. And then they say this tournament is not the best way to crown a champion. I don't
– Right.
What's the best way to crown a champion? If it's not a group of people deciding and it's not, you know, 70 – almost 70 teams playing for it, how should we decide who the best team is? Do we just crown them at the end of the regular season? That's what we were doing before in football, and people didn't like that. They said it wasn't good enough. But now we play it out to the ultimate extent in basketball, and people say, well, it's really not the best way to crown a champion. You don't find the best team. And you can sit there and you can say, and I'll just listen. I'm not trying to pick on anybody. I'm not trying to be, you know, mean or whatnot. But this, I'll throw out, you know, one tweet that I saw about this, and kind of taking it to where I think some people are going, and why some people want to talk about it that way. I don't understand why you would look at it and you would say, you know, this just isn't the way to decide. This isn't the way that we need to do it. This isn't ultimately the way that it should happen. And the tweet was from Nicole Auerbach last night, 22 hours ago. She tweeted, the NCAA tournament isn't designed to crown the best team in the sport all year. Now, she does put all year in there, so that's sort of the asterisk. Sometimes the best team does win it, but it often comes down to chaos, individual matchups, and a night when your best shooter suddenly can't hit a three. That's why it's so compelling. Well, isn't part of being the best team to hit your threes? Or defend a team to where they can't defend, defend someone where they can't make their threes? Isn't part of being the best team keeping your composure? Making big shots in big moments? I thought that was part of being a great team. When was the last time we said that a team was the best in their sport and we said, well, you know what? They're terrible in pressure situations, but I really think they're the best team in the nation. Or by God, they fold when things get tight late in the game, but I really believe they're the best team in the nation. Who says that? Nobody says that. It's the ultimate way to find out who the best team is. Now, just because you didn't do it for a longer stretch, but every team's got an opportunity. That's what makes it great. I don't know what people want when they're talking about this might not be the best way to crown or find out who the best team is.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think people just like to complain first and foremost. Look, I mean, the college basketball regular season is watered down. Let's just be honest. Like, as far as, and people will say, well, that's what, no, it's, I mean, I watch it. I enjoy it. But the average and the casuals aren't sitting there grinding on college basketball's regular season. It's not. But the tournament is phenomenal. It's the greatest sporting event in our country. So don't mess with the tournament. Like, I think college basketball is just fine. I don't think college basketball is broken. I don't think it's any of those things. I think it's just we're at a point right now where age and veteran presence is actually more important to March success than one-and-done lottery picks. I just think that's a transition for a lot of folks. Like, it's not broken. It's not broken at all. It's phenomenal because it's the most unpredictable event that we have in our country. So I think it's a great event still. I'm disappointed my team lost, but I don't want to just totally rip up what's been the fabric of our spring football or spring sports calendar for the last 50 years. I don't want to mess with that.
Absolutely not. Lee, David, Joey, you guys want to hang through the break? We'll get to you on the other side as we continue talking NCAA tournament and everything that has happened this year.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast, wherever you listen.